Finally.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Oh, what a delight and a privilege it is to come to West Toronto to be with you today. I thank God for the opportunity as we've come to join you. And I believe that God has a divine purpose for our coming, and that we have a divine assignment here today. Thank you, Bishop Vernon, Lady Vernon. You are just such precious jewels in the kingdom of God. We thank you for your leadership. We thank you for the exemplary life that you live. And we thank you for walking in the grace that God has put upon you. My wife, Sister Ethel Blake, who has been walking with me this journey for almost 43 years. Thank God. And we are alive and well, and we thank God for what he's doing. We thank Brother Richards, one of my leaders at New Life Covenant Center, and a man who has committed himself to watch over me, to support me, to make sure I'm okay. Let me tell you something. You could, doesn't matter how good you are, but if you don't have people that's watching your back, people who love you and who are committed, their first commitment is to God. But they understand that if the church is going to go places, the leaders need covering and support. I thank you so much, Brother Richards. Amen. And Sister Alanette Frederick, who is with me as well today. And at the end of the service, mention will be made about this project that God has allowed me to bring to completion. It's been a long time. I've been rebuked and instructed and prayed over, and I've received a lot of help and support in developing this manuscript. And it is a book. It is a daily devotional. There are 52 themes for each week, and then those themes are broken into each 7-day segment. So every day, small, bite-sized devotional. And it's simply called Food for the Soul from the Pastor's Corner. And I believe that if you take the time to access a copy of this, that you are going to find it to be inspirational and that the Lord is going to bless you. We are so busy today, we sometimes run out of the house and we didn't get a chance. And for people to take long passages, sometimes it's challenging. So we have sought the Lord to help us to bring it. There are 325 pages in this book, but it's broken down in bite size so that every day you can get some food for your soul. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We are here for to listen to and to receive from the hand of the Lord. And I have a scripture that I want to share with you. It is not where my message is based, but I want to share it with you today. It is out of Joel chapter 2, and is starting at verse 26. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. NIV translation. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. This sounds repetitious, but this is the word. Amen. It is repeated twice. It is spoken never again. God must be up to something. Verse 28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Oh, somebody shout praise. This is the word of the Lord. And for somebody who's been struggling, somebody who's been wondering, where is God? Is he coming through for me? God says, you will have plenty to eat, and never again will you be put to shame. Come on, put your hands together and tell the Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God. Before you take your seat, indulge me today in the reading of the scripture, and we will go to prayer. Second Timothy chapter 1 from verse 6. In fact, we're probably going to start at verse 3. I thank my God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. King James says a spirit of fear, spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. King James said, sound mind. Oh, somebody shout praise. Hallelujah. Today I want to talk about taking hold of your kingdom possibilities. Taking hold of your kingdom possibilities. Father, inspire our hearts. Anoint my lips. Remove every hindrance, every distraction, every glitches. And Lord, let there be clarity in the spirit realm so your people will hear what the Spirit is saying to his church. And Lord, I command obedience now in the name of Jesus. And I decree the blessings of the Lord upon the people of God. I pray for transformation, restoration, redirection. Raise your people up now to stand in your plan and your purpose, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody tell him thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Taking hold of your kingdom possibilities. You may be seated. In a changing world with changing times and changing people, West Toronto Church of God seeks to present the unchanging message of Jesus Christ. Am I right? Following the vision that God had placed on the hearts of the pioneering and founding couple, Reverend and Sister McDonald. And after 5 decades, you are still here today and blessed to be celebrating the fullness of our sovereign God. Amen. It's not about man, it's about God and about who he is and his purpose for this church. Somebody say yes. Admittedly, so many and so much has been accomplished over these years as the momentum in the life of this church continues to increase. Even as you get ready for your big day, your big 50th anniversary, I must remind you that God has yet some wonderful plans that you will discover as you transition to the next level of greatness in the kingdom of God, in building the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It goes without saying that this church has been built on a good foundation, and that it has enjoyed the favor of God. However, as leaders and congregants, you must identify and communicate the need for change. I was very impressed with the presentation today, amen, about technology and the commitment to take the church outside the four walls. And amen, because one of the things that has happened to us over the years is that we are a good story, well kept. Amen. And most people who tell our stories, they do not tell it the way it is. So it's time for us to rise up and tell our own story. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, it's time for us to rise up and tell our own story. Tell it accurately, amen. Tell it truthfully. Be current. Be current with the story. Somebody give the Lord praise. So that it is understood and supported by all the people here at West Toronto. So that people know that we're not making up story. When somebody comes from outside and they tell you grand stories, you're excited about it, but you're not so sure that you know, it's all that and more. But when you tell your story here, among people who know you, they are able to say amen. Somebody shall praise if you can. Hallelujah. Then people's confidence and their motivation will grow when they are given the chance to put their skills into practice and to show mastery in the area of their giftings. There are people sitting on these pews that are multifaceted in gifts, but they sit on it. There are people who operate in the secular world, in the business world, amen, as consummate professionals. But when you leave the workplace, the marketplace, you come in and you come in quietly and softly and you sit. And you're not able to transfer, amen, the same kind of expertise and the same kind of professionalism and the same kind of dedication and the same kind of commitment that you use 5 or 6 days in the week. But we are calling for those giftings. Hallelujah. To come together in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. After 50 years,
After living a generation and some, are you with me in this place? Hallelujah. We're calling for those gifts to come together and to become an arsenal against the enemy. To be powerfully used by God to create a divine shift in our community and to bring a release to the people of God. They're young people who are gifted. They don't know what to do with their gift after having gone to college and university. They don't know how to come back here. They just can't fit anymore. They can't find their place anymore because we have kept the church in a certain way. Amen. That there is no room. Oh, why did I get hot? Amen. Oh, come on. Lift up your hand and just praise the Lord. But hear me. As the mouthpiece of Christ in the earth. That's who we are. As the mouthpiece of Christ in the earth. The church must understand its vision. Which is to advance the cause of Christ. And develop godly character in every member. With the mindset of becoming a multiplication movement. Not just adding one here and one there, but becoming a movement with a passion and with a purpose. Hallelujah. You have been called to be a healthy congregation that is faithful to the kingdom mandate. Touch your neighbor and say that. Touch somebody and say, you have been called to be a healthy congregation or a healthy congregant that is faithful to the kingdom mandate. Can I tell you, church, that God wants to invade your life by his power? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, young man, you have a heritage. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have a spiritual heritage. Your grandmother was a grounded woman. Your mother, she was a grounded woman. And I bear witness in my soul that that same kind of passion and that same kind of dedication, that same kind of hunger exists in your heart. And I have laid my hand upon you and I'm releasing you. Oh, somebody put your hand on your neighbor and say, in the name of Jesus, I have confidence that you're going to be more than just a musician. You will be known for just more than playing music and singing songs. But God is raising you up for divine purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God wants to birth a new passion in your heart through the Holy Spirit. We have been given the provision to meet all our personal needs. I am not a beggar. I'm not hoping that my needs are going to be met. Hallelujah. Because my heavenly Father, he owns it all. Mighty God, I thank you. And any roadblock that the enemy brings in my way, it is momentarily, and God is working on that. He's got to get out of his way because I'm above and not beneath. I'm first, I'm not last. Somebody praise the Lord. I will not beg, I will not borrow, but I lend. Oh, somebody praise him. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. Yes. God has made provisions for us to meet our personal needs. However, there are certain steps that must be taken to fulfill or to fully embrace God's purpose. Number one, you must recognize God's plan for your life. Amen. You're not here as an accident or coincidence. God has a plan for your life. God desires to have a lasting, intimate relationship with you. That's where it has to start. This means that you must trust Him enough to share your innermost thoughts and your deepest secrets with God. Amen. You cannot be afraid to talk to God. You got to tell Him anything your neighbor or your friend know about you, God should be the first one to whom you have shared it. Are you still here with me? Obviously, God already knows everything about you. But when you choose to tell Him what's hidden deep within you, it proves that you trust Him. Hallelujah. Secondly, you must acknowledge that there is a problem. If we are separated from God, it's because of our disobedience to Him. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Our good works of becoming members of the church, getting baptized, and all other shortcuts will not help us. Only true obedience and faith will move God to extend His hands in bringing forgiveness and restoration and empowerment in our lives. There's no other way. There's no shortcut to having the favor of God. Moses was able to stand up and say, "Please, if you're not going to go with us, don't let me go, because I can't go alone." I want to tell you that God had given Moses a good bargain. He says, "I am going to send an angel to be with you." How many people have their own private personal angel? Whether you know it or not, but God says to Moses, "I'm going to send an angel with you. And I'm going to talk to that angel, and that angel is going to talk to you, and you will do what I want you to do." And God explained to Moses why He was going to do that. Amen. You know, scripture says that God talked to him mouth to mouth like a man. But God says, "If I go with you, the people, your people," amen, "your people, they provoke me. And if I go with you, I may destroy them. So I am going to put myself at a distance, and I'm going to communicate to you through an angel." And Moses says, thank you. But if your presence is not going with me, the angel can't take your place. Anybody settling with an angel? Or do you want the fullness of God? Do you want Him to be with you? Or somebody shout praise if that is so. Hallelujah. You must recognize God for who He is. And you need to respond to God's remedy. God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us by going to the cross and paying the penalty for our sins. And then He rose again from the grave. And the Bible says, "For while we were still sinners," or helpless, amen, "at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died. Romans chapter 5 and from 6 to 8. So what that is saying to me is that God decided that through Jesus, he would open a way so that you and I can have immediate and direct access. You remember, he said to Moses, what you're asking for, you want to see my glory? What you're asking for, you can't have because no man sees me and live. And Moses was, you know, said, okay, I understand. And I'm not trying to get killed, but I can't go where you're sending me without your glory. And God said, okay, Moses, there is a rock by me. God always have an alternative. He always have a plan. Can you lift up your hand and praise the Lord? He said, there's a rock by me. You can go to the rock and stand on it. And when I pass by, I'll put my hand to cover you. And you will see the back part of me. That's what he offered Moses. But when Jesus Christ came, hallelujah, he brought the fullness of his presence and his glory to the church, to you and I. God has a plan for his people. His plan did not end with the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. God is not running out of control. It might look like that to you sometimes, but God is not running out of control. He's not surprised by what is taking place in the society, whether it's in America, whether it's the stock market, whether it is in Canada, whether it's in Ontario, no matter what is going on, it doesn't take God by surprise. God is not pleased with what is happening. Hallelujah. But he's not caught off guard. You need to know that, and you need to affirm that. Because sometimes your own children mess up your thinking. You've been believing this and you've been trusting God and you've seen all kinds of miracles. But now your children, your grandchildren grow up. People who were dedicated in the house of God. People who learned at Sunday school. People, amen, who have the knowledge of the truth. Now just because they've gone to university and they come back and they begin to behave and act in certain ways that causes you to second guess your faith. My brothers and sisters, are you in a place of uncertainty or a place of just coasting in your spiritual life? Have you taking the things of God for granted? Are you listening to God's word but hearing nothing? If so, then perhaps it's time for you to read once again the accounts of how God has revealed his love to you. Maybe it's time for you to wake up. Hallelujah. Wake up to the fact that God is on his throne. You may have missed that, but I want to say to you, I don't care if it's sickness or if it's bankruptcy or if it's discouragement, amen, or if it's anger in your family or whatever it is that brings you in that place, I'm here to declare that God is still on his throne. Thank you, Jesus. God is still on his throne. It's time for you to bow down before his throne and to give him honor and to praise him, for he desires this and he deserves it. He doesn't just desire it, he deserves it. He has done too much for us. Let's think about the journey, amen, of 50 years in this local church. Those of you who were here at the beginning or nearly the beginning, amen, you may have been traveling the major part. I also want to say that you're not a pillar in the church. The church is not built on you. But your point of reference is valuable. Hello, somebody. Your experience, your background should be helping us. Amen. Oh, somebody give the Lord praise. Our future and our past, oh, thank you, Lord, requires that we have mature believers who will walk the walk. Oh, somebody praise the Lord. And wise people who are trained and visionary for the future so that we can move from where we are to where God wants us to be. Oh, somebody say yes if you know what I'm talking about. So are you willing to entrust yourself to God even when the future is confusing? Do you believe that God has a plan? Or you think he's just kind of reacting to the circumstances? So he may go that way or he may go this way, depending on the situation. I tell you, that's not my God. He's a God of strategy. Oh, hallelujah. He's a God of purpose. He's a God with a plan. Oh, somebody bless his name. And when you take time to get acquainted with God's plan and get to know his purpose, you can move confidently. Amen. Through the difficult situation, even when death comes, though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because he's with you. His rod and his staff will comfort you. He will prepare a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. Oh, hallelujah. Are you willing to serve God until that day when his plan is fulfilled in you? It has become increasingly clear to us that we are not of this world. Hello? Right now, we have to live on this planet, but we are not of this world. Oh, somebody give him praise. We're not just trying to survive, just to make it, hallelujah, for now. But we are people of purpose. We're going somewhere. Hallelujah. Let me quickly remind you, it is the will of God that we make the most of the opportunities that are available in Christ to us. Hallelujah. The Lord wants us to maximize our privileges. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 6, I want to share what that says. It says, sow your seed in the morning and at evening. Let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. According to this scripture, we must aggressively pursue all of the opportunities that comes before us because we don't know which one God is going to use to give the breakthrough to West Toronto. All we know that we belong here and God has a plan and a purpose. Proverbs 10 and 5 tells us, he who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Hello, somebody. We are called to worship. Here's what Psalm 95 verses 6 to 8 says. Come, let us worship and bow down. Oh, stand to your feet with me and receive this word. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Oh, somebody say yes. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God is not saying sometime in the future, after you go to university, after you go to college, after you go to seminary, but now. Oh, thank you. God can use you with the knowledge you have. God can use you with the capacity you have. God will use you with the resources you have. God will use you in spite of the roadblocks that you face. God will use you in spite of the criticism of other people. All you have to do is to be willing to bow down and worship Him. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're responsible for the resources that you receive. Your reaction towards the things entrusted to you is important. The time of settling account is with the Master, and He is coming. Hallelujah. And finally, the reward, amen, is in His hand. And He is faithful. I wanna take time to pray for that believer who knows that God has put something inside of you that it just won't go away. You don't know how to deal with it, you don't know how to implement it, and it frustrates you, but you know God has put this in your soul. And you got to get it out. Come stand with me around these altars today. Hallelujah. Because God is getting ready to release kingdom ambassadors. He's getting ready to release believers who are called into divine purpose and assignment. Come quickly if you're coming. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. You may not have been at the beginning 50 years ago. Pastor McDonald, he was a visionary, but there is no way he could have imagined what would have happened. Hallelujah. 50 years later. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. You are privileged because you are here now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And after the celebration is over, it is not over. It will not be over. But if you start now, there is no telling what God is going to do 50 years from now. Oh, somebody praise God. Somebody need to say, I am here. I'm showing up with my heart. I'm giving myself to you, Jesus. I'm ready to go the next mile. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. If you're in this place and you're not saved, then the word that you've heard today, you know it is true, comes from the heart of God, is a word of encouragement to you. It's also a word that exposes the truth and call you now to respond to the Lord Jesus. If you are not saved, come and join us. Hallelujah. Because God wants to save you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And He wants to make you a part of this movement. Hallelujah. A multiplication movement. Oh, lift up your right hand to heaven. Say, just as I am, I come to you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your sovereign rule over my life, over my family. I thank you for the assignment of destiny that you have made in my life. I thank you for strategically placing me. And now, Lord, I take my place in you. I bow down before you, Jesus. I cry out to you right now. And I pray, oh God, that if there's any sin in my life, if there's any negligence in my life, if there's any area where there's room for the devil to work in me, I ask you to take it out now. I surrender myself completely to your sovereign will. I give over myself to you. I receive your divine mandate in my life. I receive the anointing and the grace of God upon my life. Hallelujah. I confess and I declare. Come on, say it with me. I confess and I declare that the devil doesn't have any control over my life. He has no control over my finances. He has no control over my mind. I renounce the plan of the enemy. And I say to the devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And I declare that I'm more than a conqueror. Lord, you've given me the power to speak truth, to speak peace, to speak life. You've given me the power to decree and to declare. Oh, I receive your anointing. Oh, somebody declare it right now. I receive your anointing. Thank you for the divine shift that is taking place in my life right now. I receive it from you, Lord. Hallelujah.